Well, we would sure appreciate your prayers this morning. We would like the Word of God to mean something to us and to change our lives day by day, week by week, year by year. I believe the Lord wants to give us better and more understanding as we go. And, you know, I was thinking, I wrote on the board, the habitation of the Spirit. We're still thinking about the temple this morning and the tabernacle and the meaning. God told Moses, he said, I want you to build this, and you build it just like I tell you to, according to the pattern. And that was because that there was meaning in everything there. It wasn't as if, well, you can make this laver out of something it wasn't. He told them exactly what materials to make those things out of and how to do them. And because they had great meaning. And, you know, mankind has a mind and a spirit. We understand each other because we have the same kind of mind, don't we? And the same sort of spirit. There's a mind and a way about man that everybody else understands to some degree. You know, this morning, the scriptures tell us in John, the 4th chapter, he says, John 4 and 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the scripture before that says, now keep in mind what we just read. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just any old way. Just like you can't build the temple anyway. Jesus said they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's important for us to, with our whole heart, seek after God and with our spirit and our mind and our life and our soul, seek after the things of the Lord. And the scripture before it says, but the hour cometh, the hour is coming, and now is, Jesus said, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know, God never wanted people to worship the Son. He made the Son. That wasn't Him. He never intended people to worship themselves or their abilities and to be, you know, on display. He never wanted that because He's God. He's God. That glory comes to Him. We're just something that He made. You know, we carve things, we make things, don't we? We build things. They're just things we made. They're not us. Well, we're a building of God that He made. And so this morning, I believe, and we know, the Spirit of God seeks people to worship Him. Did you know that this morning? Did you know the Spirit of God goes about and He knocks on your door? Will you worship? Will you walk with me through life? Will you let me in such a way that I can be alive and real in your life? The Spirit of God is walking everywhere, knocking, isn't He? Doing that this morning. And in the Old Testament days, the old covenant with men, which was before the price was paid for our return through the blood of Jesus. You know, they worshiped the Lord with men's hands, didn't they? They slew sacrifices. They offered to God things. They offered to the Lord their voice even. And you know, that's a sacrifice. God may want to work through our voice. But you know, we can't play well enough on an instrument. We can't do enough to impress God. I'll tell you what impresses God. For us to humble our hearts in such a way that we see our great need of the Almighty God to live through us and to dwell in us and to shine forth His glory and His purity and His love to a world that knows little of it. That's what impresses God. And so when we come to the Lord, let's remember that. In 2 Chronicles 6 and 18, we read here, six and 18 to 20, it says, "Now, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth?" Do you really think that the God of heaven that made the earth and made the stars and planted them all these, I suppose, millions of light years away, however he did all those things, do you suppose he really is interested in us, in walking with us? You know why he did those things, don't you? To bring glory to his own self, to be able to show man that there is a God. Do you know when there's a star that far out, to us it never moves. It's immovable. You know, maybe it's moving out. I don't know what it's doing, but I'll tell you something. To us, it's a shining light that we can tell time by. To the nth of us, to the thousands of seconds, they set atomic clocks and all. You know, this morning, God has set things up in such a way that it proves to us who to follow, doesn't it? You know, the sun and all of those, they're works of God. They're made for our benefit, aren't they? But they're not God. And so we read here, "But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that that thine eyes may be open unto this house day and night." See, that was where God chose to dwell. It's where he chose to put his name. It's where he chose to put his presence in the old covenant that was in the temple, in the tabernacle before the temple was built. The tabernacle was the same thing, just movable. "That thine eyes may be open unto this house day and night upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place." You know, the Spirit of God dwelt among those people. You know, there was a way the temple was made, and we've spoke of it in different fashions, different ways while we've been preaching on this topic. This morning, I want to think about the Holy of Holies, the holiest place. That was where God chose to put his mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant. You know, the Ark of the Covenant contained what? The Ten Commandments, didn't it? And Aaron's rod that budded, and let's see, the manna. And it contained those things. It was the covenant between God and his people, and it was in the holiest place. You know, this morning, I want us to think a little bit about that holy place, because it's very significant. If you think of the ark laid out like a box, like a big rectangle, and in that rectangle was another rectangle, and the outer area of the tabernacle had curtains. I think they were 7 feet tall, maybe. And they were all around this area that was enclosing the tabernacle, which was laid out in a rectangle too. And within that rectangle, it was portioned off. And there was an area that no one entered but the high priest. He only entered once a year. And that was on the Day of Atonement. And that was a very special day. It was a day the high priest had to be very careful about his preparation, There was things he had to do. There was incense that had to be burned. There was washing and cleansing and a sacrifice that had to be made. Now, we all know that that you know when you came inside the courtyard area, there was an area where people could bring sacrifices in, bind them to the altar. And there was this altar, 7.5, I think, by 7.5 feet. And these sacrifices would be put up there. That was an altar that many sacrifices were offered on. And many sins God overlooked for that. But it couldn't cleanse a man from sin. It just couldn't do that. But you know, there was meaning in those sacrifices. See, those sacrifices had to be approved by the priest there before they could be offered, because they had to be without blemish. You couldn't offer up your animal that was fixing to die. Your best. That's what you offered. You know, Jesus, was there any better than him? He was the only one that had that kind of record. He was the only one that didn't have a blemish. And he was offered up for our sins, wasn't he? And thereby, we could be saved. I want to tell you, inside this tabernacle area was a place called the Holy Place. And there was a few things in there. It wasn't crowded. It had the candle, the golden candlesticks, the table of shewbread, and the altar of incense. There was an area in there that the priests, before they went in, they had to cleanse themselves, lest they die. Maybe we'll read that scripture here in a few minutes. But I want us to remember, as we're studying about the temple, that this was a place of reconciliation between a holy God and sinful man. There wasn't any other way. Other peoples through the centuries have offered up their victims, sometimes other people, sometimes children. They worshiped all kinds of things that God made. But none of that availed, did it, anything. But the blood of Jesus opened up a way for us. And I want to ask the Lord to make this real to us this morning, to us, that we can recognize and see a little deeper into some things God has for us. He has prepared for his people more than the mind can take in, we're told. Except, he says in the next scripture, but God, or maybe it was that right along there, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. You know, the Lord hasn't given himself in such mystery that we cannot find him. And so this morning, I just want to, there's a lot of ways we could go, and I want the Lord to help us to be able to just deliver the meat that will feed us today. you know, the high priest was able to enter on the Day of Atonement, as we said. He would offer sacrifices. He washed in the bronze laver before putting on his holy garments and different things before he entered the holiest place. He offered incense. He went in. He sprinkled blood upon the mercy seat. And we find he sprinkled blood all through the tabernacle area. But there, we have a song this morning that we have all heard, most of us, many times. It's 295 in our book. It's called The Holy of Holies. And it says, there is a blessed pavilion, a sacred inner court. Remember we said in the tabernacle was an area that was called the Holy of Holies. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was and the cherubims above it, and the presence of God dwelt there. It says, the song says, a sacred inner court, the place of God's own dwelling, with all the world shut out. O holy resting place, O calm and pure retreat, where God unveils his face and life is only sweet. Refrain says, O sweet and tranquil home, where only God is known. Verse 3, well, we'll read all the verses. Verse 2 says, within this greater temple built by the Son of God. Now, what is the temple today? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? That's what we're told. And so the holy presence of God inhabited this holy place, this most holy place, this morning. Within this greater temple, built by the Son of God, we found a full salvation and entered through the blood. Here on the mercy seat, beneath the cherubim, we dwell in love complete and heaven's glory hymn. You know that we have the opportunity today to tap into and to enjoy the very presence of the Almighty God? Do you know that this morning? Do we all know that? That we can have the divine nature today? That's something that, see, he built the temple just like he wanted it, to show us some things. Do you know there was a veil between the holy place, the tabernacle, in the tabernacle, the holy place, and the most holy? There was a veil. And beyond that veil, no one could go lest they die. Because how would you enter the presence of God being unholy? And so, we reach the cleansing laver. The blood has been applied. Then, on the golden altar, we're wholly sanctified. Within the second veil, O holy, holy place, with joyful lips we tell the fullness of His grace. O glory be to Jesus, I've boldly entered in the secret of His presence and triumph over sin. My soul is hid away in God with Jesus Christ, and here I'll ever stay in sweet eternal rest. Do you know that when Jesus was crucified, and I'm just mentioning a bunch of these rather than reading all these scriptures, but when Jesus was crucified and He expired, what happened? Did you know the veil in the temple was just split in two? Do you know the saints, many of them came out of their graves and they came in and they visited the people. And all through the centuries they had been prophesying of what was to come. This is to come. And they rose from the grave and went in and started talking to people at that time. That's an amazing story, isn't it? On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah and who was the third one? met with Jesus there, didn't he? You know, these things were set up a long time before. And so I have to believe when Jesus was crucified and all these came out, I would have loved to have heard what they said and what they saw because it was meaningful. That veil that was rent, see, that was where God dwelt. And you know, Jesus said, if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit won't come. It's needful that I go away that the Holy Spirit would come. And so when that veil was rent, when He was crucified and He expired, the Holy Spirit left that temple. And He was done with temples made with hands. And you know what He went out to do? He went out to fill and be in people's hearts. And folks, I want to tell you something. If you read, I know we just have minutes here, but if you read the significance of the way all of these things were made and done and entered into, it was with great awe and trembling, if you will, to enter into the presence of God. But I want to tell you, on the day of Pentecost, there was those people. There was that 120 seeking the Lord. And you know what? There wasn't in the temple one room, was there? There was a holy place. There was a place that we liken to salvation. It's a place where you've been made clean. But I want to tell you, there was another room. And it was sectioned off. And that was where the very presence and power and Spirit of the Lord came down. And that was where the mercy seat was. Folks, this is one of the most precious and valuable gifts we could have. And I want to encourage us today to lay hold on the promises of God. The Lord wants you and I to be filled with the power of His presence this morning. He wants us to enter in. Are we not kings and priests before Him? Does not the Scriptures tell us that? You know, this morning, we enter in to that presence, and we have that ability, we have that gift from the Lord that we can enter into His presence. And I just want to encourage us today, folks, I know that we live in a world that where you say the word holy, automatically the hands come up in resistance. But I want to read to you a few scriptures, because you see, you would not come before God without being holy in that time. And I have many scriptures that we could share, and I will if you want us to privately. But I want to tell you this morning, there was a cleansing. There was washings that had to be done before you could enter this place. You didn't just come in from offering a sacrifice. Jesus has offered a sacrifice. The blood has been applied and sprinkled upon our hearts, hasn't it? And we have been saved. But I want to tell you something. Don't stop there. There's another room, folks, and the Lord wants us to enter into that place. He wants us to enter in not to a nominal thing that says, I'm sanctified, but He wants us to enter into a place where the power and the presence of the Lord dwells. And so I want to encourage us today to seek, Lord, I want the power and the presence of God in my life. I want to know You. I want to hear Your voice. I want You to give me divine guidance and those things. In 1 Peter 1 and 14, he says here, you see, we serve a holy God. And he says, as obedient children, 1 Peter 1 and 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Weren't we ignorant when we were in sin? Weren't we ignorant of God's righteousness? Weren't we ignorantly full of our own desires and lusts and all those things? But he said, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Folks, that's impossible without God. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Folks, I have no problem recognizing there isn't any of us can live holy except God lives through Him. And folks, that's why it's so important for us. Let's don't look at this as saying, well, yeah, but if I dedicate myself to God, if I truly give myself to Him, what will He require of me? I want to tell you, He'll give you 1,000 times what He'll require of you this morning. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do you know the temple was built as a place that housed that place that was ceremonially holy? Ceremonially holy. Because it had been sprinkled with blood and it had been made just like God said and all those things. But there wasn't any heart there that was really holy, was there? It took something more than that. And folks, when we enter in to that holiest place with the Lord, we enter in through the blood again, don't we? The blood was sprinkled again. It was sprinkled on the mercy seat. It was sprinkled here and there. And we find this sprinkling, this blood, made those things ceremonially clean. Ceremonially. Do you know, we said all along, we said over and over, those things of the Old Testament had meaning for the new. But now it's more than ceremony, folks. He actually sprinkles the blood of Jesus upon our heart and cleanses our heart. That's something only God can do. So this morning, I just want to encourage us to let the Lord have that place and seek that. Seek that. Lord, I want to be filled with your spirit. I want to know you. I want your calling upon my life. Everybody has a different place in life. The Lord's not going to call everybody to be a Sunday school teacher or whatever. He's going to call different callings, many different places in life. But He's going to call. He's got a will for your life and mine. And I just want to give this to you in case you want to write it down. Matthew 27 and 50 to 54 talks about where the veil of the temple was rent in twain and the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Know ye not this morning, as we've mentioned every week, I think, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? I want to tell you to understand a little deeper the things of God will protect you against false ideas and false doctrines and false spirits. He says, know ye not that your body is the temple of God, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Lord wants a holy place, a holy temple. And that's what He will have. He will not dwell in an unholy place this morning. What we think about, what we allow ourselves to muse upon, thoughts will come to our mind that are unholy. The devil tempted Jesus. Why don't you just, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. You see all this? He brought it to his mind, didn't he? Vividly. And Jesus was tempted. He told him, jump off. Doesn't the scripture say that he'll bear you up? The angels will bear you up. You know, the devil said that, but I want to tell you something. God wants our hearts and our minds and our lives to be holy. He wants us to overcome the things of the devil. I want to tell you, there isn't one unholy thing that blesses our lives. Is there? Just think about it. Is there one unholy thing that blesses lives? Anything? Maybe a lie gets you out of something and it stains your soul for eternity. And it ruins your credibility. Because you see, when people lie to me one time, I know they can lie another. And you're the same. You know, this morning, pretty important, isn't it? You think, well, maybe a white lie, that'd be the least thing. That'd be the least thing. No big deal. Folks, I want to tell you, God is holy. And He's calling for holy people. But for us to look at it as if, well, is there a place I've got to climb to? I want to tell you, there wasn't any steps around the altar. Did you know that? There wasn't any steps. You couldn't climb up there like that. There was a place where the priest could kind of work to reach over and do what they needed to do. But folks, this morning, you're bought with a price. Be holy, for I am holy, the Lord said. You know, we've read many times, I know, quite a few times here, about the day of Pentecost. I'm going to read it one more time in Acts 2 and 1. Because the Lord gave a gift here that I'm afraid sometimes we denigrate it or make it lower than it really is. Folks, let's don't speak away. Let's don't let our minds take away the power of God in heaven. You know, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And again we say other tongues. That just simply means languages, which the following scriptures goes on to bear out. You know, they spoke with a new tongue. They spoke with a new heart. All of a sudden this Peter that just said, I'm telling you, I don't know the man. And he cursed and he swore. All of a sudden he was preaching the gospel to the people that would have killed him and may have done it again. And without fear, I'm persuaded he didn't have any fear that day. I think Peter preached to those people with all the power and unction and anointing that he had. The Lord wants to change our lives too. And I just want to preach this in a way that maybe will whet our appetite. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, would you inhabit this vessel? Would you cleanse this vessel and live in my soul? Would you bring your presence and power into this temple? You know, there's special privileges to it. I want to tell you one of them. In Ephesians 2 and 21, it tells us, in whom all the building, God is working on a church. Now, he's not talking about made of sticks and stones. We're talking about a church made without hands, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you know what a blessing it is when a bunch of people that's filled with the Spirit of God get together? Don't we enjoy some of that every week? You know what a blessing that is? You know what a blessing it is to have the Spirit of the living God in your soul? Now, folks, I know we're still people. I know we still fight battles. I know we still get down. I know the devil still tempts. But I want to tell you, when the God of heaven lives within, we'll overcome. We'll overcome every time. The Lord wants to take us from here to eternity and give us eternal life. And I want to whet your appetite. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, come down in my life and work in me in the way that only you can this morning. Oh, I just want to... That really almost sums up everything I've had on my mind, just without reading a lot of the scriptures I had even, or some of them. You know, when the glory of God came down upon the tabernacle, there was a fire that came out from God, from the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. It was such a witness to them that, you know, they should have never had another doubt in their life. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants to fall upon our lives too. And He wants to redeem us, not with corruptible things. He wants our life to be more than just what we can play or what we can do or how much we can give or anything else. He wants it to be our heart that tunes with the heart of God and comes before the Lord and allows the Lord that place. He wants us to enter in. And so when we sing that song, "Oh, holy, holy place," we're not talking about a dream out there, folks. We're talking about a place where God inhabits our souls. Oh, the Lord help us, that He lit a flame, God did. And you know, there was a commandment to the children of Israel to never let the flame go out. Do you know, this morning, we have a flame lit in our soul by the Lord that He wants to give to us to never go out. He wants us to tend to it every day. You know, the priest had to go in and they had to tend the flame daily and keep it burning through the many years, centuries. That was their job. That had significant meaning. So this morning, the Lord help us today to allow God that place in our life, into that inner sanctuary, and not be satisfied to just, "Well, Lord, I'm going to accept, I'm going to believe on the sacrifice of your Son." Folks, He said it was very needful for Him to go away, that the Holy Spirit would come. And He told the disciples in the first chapter of Acts, He said that you'll receive power. He said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem." He said, "You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses for me. I will tell you, sometimes it's hard to be a witness without power. It takes power. And he said here, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The disciples realized, and I realize what I'm preaching this morning. I know that it is quite a thing. For me, before I was sanctified, it struck fear in my heart. Why? I still can hardly understand it. Because to me now, it is the highlight of my life. You know, in Acts, the 8th chapter, Philip had went down and he had preached. And wasn't it Philip? I'm sorry, let me find this place. But these people got saved here. And after they got saved, here we go. "Then Simon himself also believed." That was 14th verse of 8. "Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." See, these people were saved and baptized. That's what it tells us. They had received the word of God. "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, we told you there was two sections to this tabernacle, didn't we? That holy place, that rending of the veil, the splitting of the veil, the Lord left that place. It didn't mean it was all open into one now. He left that place. And so still, let's enter through the veil. Let's enter that place. And it says, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." So we know that this is something that's very, very pertinent to the church. I believe it's the thing that we probably need most. We need most. Because in that Spirit of God dwells the power and the presence of the Lord. You pray for me. I want to draw close to the Lord. I want to be used of Him. I want to resist the temptations when they come. I want to tell you, the devil is very mean. He's very real. But I want to tell you, God will enable us to be able to live for Him. You pray for me.